Now stay tuned for the Sunday morning wake-up call on 97.9 The Wren. The wake-up call talks with the people in Charlottesville and Albemarle County who are making a difference. Now here's your host, Rick Moore.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for being here with us again this Sunday. Today, we are going to share some secrets with you. Some secrets that author Mary Jean Oldham has put together in her new book, Secret Charlottesville, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. Mary Jean is an author, as well as specialist in strategic communications and public relations. She's also president of Jaeger's Communications and an area ambassador. Previous books include two editions of 100 Things to Do in Charlottesville Before You Die. She was also once the holder of the Guinness Book of World Records for creating the largest bouquet of flowers. Mary Jean, welcome back to the program.
Hey, thanks, Rick. It's great to be here.
Well, I would think that you are excited to have another book completed and to be sharing it with everyone out there.
I certainly am. It was a fun pandemic project for me.
You know, I hadn't even thought, I mean, as many people that we've had on to the program over the last year and three quarters now, I guess, and one of the regular questions topics has to do with the effect of pandemic and COVID on this. I hadn't even thought of that for you. So let's start. How did COVID and the pandemic affect this book and your creating of it?
Well, you know, it really made so there was an effort to focus on things that I thought would still be around, that would hold up through all of this crisis, to explore things on foot outdoors that I could find, that anyone visiting pretty much any time of the year could learn about or see or experience. So that was good too. Other than that, you know, the interviews that I had were on Zoom. I met with people outdoors at a distance. So, you know, that was really the only difference. But, you know, I had a lot of time at home, as we all did, which is great for a writer. So lucky me. I got to spend the time that I needed to complete this book.
Well, what was the spark for writing this book?
So my publisher is Reedy Press out of St. Louis, Missouri, and I have worked with them, as you mentioned, on two editions of 100 Things to Do in Charlottesville Before You Die. And they have entered, you know, 60 different markets with 100 things. So you can travel all over the country and go to different cities, or when you're planning your next vacation, think about and look up and see if there's a 100 Things to Do book for your vacation, so you can do some good vacation planning in one of those other cities. But they have also started to roll out secret books. So there's a Secret Chicago, for example, and they sent me an example of that back in, I would say, late summer of 2020. And I thought, oh, yeah, Charlottesville is great for this. This will be great fun. I can do this. So I went ahead and signed the contract and got to work.
But the series in general, you mentioned that the 100 Things to Do Before You Die, as mentioned, that came first.
Right.
Did they reach out to you as an author? Did you say, oh, I can do this and represent the Charlottesville area? How did that come about as Mary Jean Oldham putting together that series and you being the representation and author for this Charlottesville scene.
Sure. Yeah. So when I first knew of Reedy Press, they hadn't expanded outside of St. Louis. And before I lived in Charlottesville, I lived in St. Louis. And I was a writer, as a freelance writer, for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. And I wrote about fun things to do in St. Louis. I wrote a shopping column for them. I wrote the first blog on things to do in St. Louis. And then I moved to Charlottesville, where I immediately began writing about Charlottesville. And I had written many blog posts about things to do in the area. I've always been a very enthusiastic Charlottesville ambassador, if you will. No one's paying me to do that, but I do it because I love it so much. And so when Reedy started to look at expanding outside of the St. Louis market, my good friend Amanda Doyle, who's the author of 100 Things to Do in St. Louis Before You Die, gave me a call and said, I think you could do this for Charlottesville. And I knew that I could. I had already written a lot about Charlottesville. And, it's just easy for me to think about what people would like to do. And I'm constantly putting lists together for friends on what to do in the region, you know, based on who they have coming into town or what their interests are. So it was just a good way to sort of channel all of that into a really helpful guide, not just for people visiting, or for people who have just moved here, but people who have been here for a long time. I find people telling me all the time that, you know, it just gives them a nice little handy way when they're at a loss for things to do. When we've been trying to stay outside and do different things with kids, when we're with our families all the time, just to find some creative new approaches.
Well, I will say that I've lived in Charlottesville for multiple decades now. And when I picked this up to go through it, I was like, oh, huh. I didn't know that. So and then there are other things in there that I was like, oh, yeah, I knew that, but I've never done that. And my wife has said, you know, once you finish talking to Mary Jean, I want that book because I'm going to start marking things on the calendar. So, again, we are talking with Mary Jean Oldham. She's the author of Secret Charlottesville, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. So let's just go through some things. Let's start where you started. The first thing you talk about is the in crowd.
Right. The secret societies, right? Secret societies at the University of Virginia, which are, you know, many storied and very clandestine. And it was fun to dig into what little we, the outsiders, can find out about them. But I think what stood out to me the most is sort of the generosity of some of these better-known secret societies, like the Seven Society, and how, you know, they've really given back not just to the university, but to the community as a whole. So, you know, interesting little background. Something to know as you're walking on grounds, because there are signs and symbols painted, and, you know, you might see them and not have any idea what you're looking at. So this is a helpful guide to that.
Did you receive any calls from anyone, any mysterious calls saying, don't include us in the book?
Not yet. I don't think I gave anything away that anyone would be upset about. I, you know, maintain some secrecy on their behalf.
Yeah, okay. Next time I run into you, I'm going to look and see if you have any of those symbols on your hat or the back of your car. Mary Jean Oldham with us, author of Secret Charlottesville, Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. As we go through some of the things in her book, You talked about snuggling baby goats.
Yes. Have you done that, Rick?
I haven't. We have made the attempt, I guess, but our weekends didn't match up with the available, or I guess when we wanted to do it, they didn't have any open time frames.
It's a very popular event, so you got to sort of plan ahead or be willing to run out to Esmont as a drop of a hat. But it is so worth it. I mean, nothing can sort of turn a bad mood around than a snuggle with a baby goat or feeding one. They're so cute. It's just a really nice activity, really family-friendly activity, and again, outdoors.
Yeah, and do you know, is this a year-round opportunity? Is this a seasonal opportunity at the goat farm?
It's fairly year-round. They don't really offer it in the winter, and they have to wait until the baby goats are just old enough that they want to start socializing them. The whole idea behind goat snuggling is to get those baby goats ready for milking so they're not afraid of human interaction. So you're really helping out the cheese-making operation, which is Caramont Farm, in Esmont by contributing to their goat snuggling operation. And it's a great place to pick up some goat cheese while you're there.
Yes, their goat cheese is well known. How many times have you been?
Twice.
And that's a sign that it was an enjoyable process, because you don't go back and snuggle a goat if you didn't enjoy it the first time.
You're right. That's true. I would go again, too.
These are not pandas.
If somebody said they hadn't been and wanted to go, I would definitely go again.
All right. So let's pick another one in here. Oh, here's one. How about LARP at the park? Can you explain that to people who may not, not everyone may not know what LARPing is?
Yeah, you bet. So LARP, L-A-R-P, stands for Live Action Role Play. And it's what it sounds like. It's people dressing up in costume, taking on a character, and then behaving as that character among other people. And there is a group here at Darden Tow Park that gathers weekly. And in their live action role play, it's sort of a Renaissance fair meets Lord of the Rings kind of world that they've created. And you show up in your costume and they stage battles. So they're very into sort of medieval arts, and their characters will have fights right there with padded swords and things, so no one gets hurt too badly. There is a waiver that you can say. But but it's all about battle play and getting out aggression in sort of a safe, healthy environment. And there's this whole culture of learning about honor and respect. So you sort of think of like Knights of the Round Table and things like that. And they're very into it. It's a huge, huge culture. And like I said, weekly, and then twice a year, they do these big events, sort of conference where they invite other LARP groups from other places throughout the Commonwealth to come and join. And they have a whole fair, and people compete based on their authenticity of their costumes and their battle gear. It's very cool. And, if you're just sort of curious, they invite people to come watch. They have a special area where you can sit and just observe and not get run over by anybody in the midst of a battle.
Did you participate?
I have not, but I am very, very interested in sort of the idea behind it. I had just the most fun conversation with Joe Compton, who's the guy who runs the local chapter. Just a delightful man. And he talked about being a veteran and how, you know, he and other veterans sometimes come back from war and, you know, they have trouble sort of shedding that experience and sometimes relating to like teenage kids. And teenage kids sometimes harbor all this aggression and it's hard for them to show their emotions. And he talked about how he and his teenage, now adult son, you know, really found this as a helpful, healthy way for them to have a relationship and talk about their issues and sort of work them out in a safe way on the LARP battleground. And I thought that was really cool. So they've really partnered with a nonprofit that is specifically for kids of veterans who sometimes struggle with these issues. And I had no idea. I mean, you know, you sort of hear about these things and you write them off as like, oh, you know, that's that group over there that's into that game and that's whatever. But it's so much more than that. And I found that really delightful and informative.
LARP at the Park. I have to say, Mary Jean Oldham, author of A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure, A Secret Charlottesville. I would like a little more personal inside information on LARPing at the park from you. So when you do the revised edition, please have LARPed at the park a little bit before you.
All right.
Before you do that.
A photo of myself in my Ren Fair outfit.
Yes, very nice. Very nice. Need to take a break in just a moment. So let me ask you this real quick. Tell me more about the world record for the largest bouquet of flowers.
Oh, yes. So it was 28,801 stems. That's how they measure it. And it was at the Missouri Botanical Garden in St. Louis, Missouri. And it took 2 days to create, and I had green stuff under my fingernails for a week.
Oh, that's crazy. Well, congratulations. And how long did you hold that?
Not long. Under a year. There was a group
under a year.
In Brooklyn broke it the following year. You know, it was an easy one to break, right?
Well, still, I'm sure that you have a copy of the Guinness Book with your name in that section, I would hope. All right, let's take our break. We'll be right back. Talk more about some of the secret spots in Charlottesville with Mary Jean Oldham. And A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure with Mary Jean Oldham leading the way through all this. Mary Jean, so other spots, they were all over the area. Some things that I have wanted to do, some things that weren't available until recently, correct? The Blue Ridge Tunnel.
Right, yes. That's very, very cool and very recent. It took quite a long time to construct that so it was safe for people to travel on foot and on bikes. It's very, very dark, so if you go, you must have a flashlight or a headlamp or something like that. But, you know, it's a year-round kind of thing that people can enjoy. It's about a mile long, but just absolutely pitch dark. So you have to be not afraid of the dark, I suppose. But I know people do it with families all the time. So I think it's, you know, pretty much for any ages. I know, and I included in the book, your best bet for access. And, you know, I think you need to be in, you know, fairly good shape to make that little hike. It's not strenuous by any stretch of the imagination, but you do need to be able to walk a mile.
Do you need hiking boots?
You know, you're better off having something that's not slippery because it's wet, you know, it's wet in there. And I would say hiking boots or some sturdy sneakers that still have tread on them. would be just fine.
So my beach sandals are not going to cut it.
I would not go in sandals.
Let's do some more of the other outside pieces here as it is still fall. You mentioned the Ivy Creek Park.
Yes. I'm a big fan of Ivy Creek. I mean, again, that's a pretty good hike. Needs to be in fairly decent shape. There's a few different paths to take there. So you can take a more, a less strenuous path for sure. There's also a small paved path at Ivy Creek for people who have mobility issues. So that's great, but there's lots to see there and good history behind it too.
Were there any places that, you know, just quite didn't make the cut? I'm curious as to what, there weren't just 100 of these, were there? I didn't count.
Yeah, there are actually 84.
I was just curious if there were one or two that were like, oh no, that one's just not quite good enough.
You know, I can't remember what I cut. I mean, I'm sure that I did, but I can't really recall what I ended up ditching.
Because I was always curious when you did the 100 things to do before you die in Charlottesville. What is number 101?
Well, I'll tell you, Rick, I just finished, and this is an exclusive for you. I just finished the draft of 100 Things to Do in Charlottesville Before You Die, the third edition. So it will be interesting for readers to see what's new. About half of the content is new, and a lot of the rest of the content is updated. So it's really a whole new book, but to see what things kind of carried over, because, you know, there are many things that you simply have to do in Charlottesville before you die. And then, and that continues from year to year. And then there are new things that had to be included. So that'll be coming out in the spring.
That's exciting. I hope you'll return. Yeah. And we can go through the book. Because as you mentioned at the start of the program, when you were writing this book, COVID had an effect on what you should include that was going to continue to be here. And I would think that COVID has had an effect on things that were listed in the earlier takes on the 100 things to do in Charlottesville that have closed or trimmed their, yeah, changed their hours or their concept, et cetera. So it's exciting to have a third version.
Yeah, and there's always new things happening. I mean, when I first started writing 100 Things to Do, Ix Art Park wasn't even a thing. And now, you know, there's so much going on there. So, every few years, there's definitely a whole lot of new things to include and talk about.
Well, Ix Art Park, for those who aren't aware, it is either or all weird, wonderful, obscure, because it makes this cut of Secret Charlottesville. So tell us about it.
That was a shoo-in, right? I mean, it really, all of the things at Ix Art Park are weird, wonderful, and obscure. There's wonderful Looking Glass interactive art exhibit that is fairly new, that is just really fascinating sort of walk-through experience. I don't know if you've noticed, but it seems like nationwide these interactive art experiences are happening. I know there's a traveling Van Gogh exhibit that sounds really, really cool. But here we are in little old Charlottesville with our own, and our own sculpture park. So you can go to Ix and walk around and sort of experience all this kind of wacky art and sculptures there, including the butt, the giant butt at Ickes Art Park. It's a sculpture, right? I know. And everybody has to take a selfie with the butt. It was, you know, left over from a comedian's show, and he didn't know what to do with it. And somehow, lucky us, we inherited it. So it's sitting there. I spent a lot of time just walking around Charlottesville thinking about, if I just landed here and had never been here and didn't know anything about it, what would I be curious about that I was seeing? And that surely made the cut.
I'd be curious about what creature's butt is this that they made a statue of and are praising. The Saturday market at Ickes is also a very cool thing to do. Everyone talks about the city market in the downtown area, but the market at Ickes is also full of great vendors.
Right, yes. And, you know, how interesting is that? That how many different sort of farmers markets can one small city, population 40,000 or so, support? And it turns out quite a few.
There's also, you mentioned something else at Ickes, Latin dancing.
Yes, yes. Salsa and bachata on Wednesdays and Sundays. You can go get a free lesson and then just join the party, which is super cool. It's such a fun, easy date night, right? So if you're looking for something to do, you have no idea, and you want to be active, you want to do something outdoors, it's super accessible. You can bring the kids if you want. You know, super family friendly, and yet you're going to learn a new skill. So, you know, there's opportunities to dance with some of the instructors who will be kind to you if you have two left feet.
Now, do you know that personally? Is that your husband? Is that your neighbor who learned that?
We are terrible dancers. However, I have good friends who are very into it and excellent dancers, and I sort of aspire to it. So I think I may have to sneak out some Wednesday night and see if I can get my salsa on.
So if you want to meet the author of Secret Charlottesville, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure, you want to meet Mary Jean Oldham and maybe pick up a copy and get your copy signed. Check out the Latin dancing on a random Wednesday night. You never know who you might run into down at Ickes Park.
I should make sure I have copies of the book on me at all times.
Right. A number of them, a box full in your trunk. Mary Jean, how long did it take you to visit all of these secret sites?
Oh, gosh. Let's see. I started writing in September, and I turned in my draft in May. So there you go. That's your answer.
So 87 in not quite 9 months. So 8 months, 7-plus months as you're writing and going along. That's a pretty good clip.
Yeah, it was. And I took not all, but most of the photos of the book, too. So there was definitely a lot of, thinking about and then getting in the car or just putting on my sneakers and going for a long walk and thinking about it. Now, there were some photos, and this was a little bit of a pandemic challenge. So a couple of things. One, you know, I was writing at a time of year sometimes about things like secret sledding hills that I couldn't go get a photo of because there was no snow on the ground. So I had to reach out to the community of friends and say, hey, does anybody have any great photos of their kids sledding? And, I was lucky to have a lot of friends who could help me out with that. And then, so there were other things like, like the wheelchair basketball team, which I think is amazing, the Cardinals basketball team. And, you know, they're off season. They weren't playing currently because of the pandemic. I think they're back to it now. But, you know, they were happy to provide me with photos that I couldn't get at the moment. But I knew that they would be back.
So there's a secret sledding hill.
Yeah, I really wanted to share what the best sledding hills were. You know, it's the kind of thing that it doesn't snow like that here often, but when it does, you want to be ready, right? So I remember the first big snow that I had in Charlottesville was 2009, that 2009-10 crazy snow that we had. It was like 2 feet over the Christmas holiday.
Oh, yeah. New
Year. Right? And, you know, I was still fairly new to Charlottesville, and I didn't know where to, you know, take my kids and go hit the hills. So I thought a great thing to include in this book would be that, because I am sure that that'll happen again one of these days.
There's also a number of historical sites.
Yes.
You've got the Piedmont flight, the crash site on the mountain. Can you
yeah.
share some of that with folks?
Sure. I have always been kind of fascinated by that story. It's pretty unusual, first of all, to have a plane crash to begin with. But the plane crash that happened was on Buck's Elbow Mountain, which is very near Crozet. And the thing about it is Flight 349, you know, it was back in the 1950s. There was one survivor, a sole survivor, and that just does not happen, Rick. It's really, really unusual. And just thinking about that poor man who was a teenager at the time being stranded for 3 days on top of the mountain by himself, you know, surrounded by plane crash debris and the other people that were on the plane that died in that wreckage. Just terrible. But, you know, there's a memorial there that sole survivor put up. And, you know, you can hike around the area. It's very close to Mint Springs Park. So I thought it's an interesting story. It's worth mentioning, and it comes up from time to time. Sometimes, you know, if you know people who are sort of Charlottesville old timers, they'll tell you that, you know, they once hiked to the wreckage, or that certain times of day, certain times of the year, that you can see sunlight glinting off metal that's still up there from the wreckage of the plane. I'm not sure I believe that one, but it's definitely an interesting and obscure thing that happened here in Charlottesville.
Again, we are talking with Mary Jean Oldham. She is the author. Her new book, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure, Secret Charlottesville. Mary Jean, you've got a number of things left to do, and I don't want to give everything away, but you spend a lot of time eating and drinking in the 100 things to do in Charlottesville before you die. And
yeah. And
a couple of those, not as many, and I would assume that some of that has to do with COVID and the concern about, as you mentioned at the start of the program, let's not get too carried away here with businesses that, you know, may look flush to me, but may actually not be so flush when the book gets published. So let's take a break. And when we come back, I want to talk about some of these businesses that you've got going on here. We'll come back with one that I don't think is going anywhere because you you mentioned holy cheese. So let's start there when we come back, and then we'll move along. Sunday morning wake up call, Mary Jean Oldham, her book Secret Charlottesville. We'll be right back. And thanks for being here with us on another Sunday morning. And thanks to 97.9 The Wren. We are glad to be back for another week. Mary Jean Oldham here, going over some of the really interesting secret spots here in Charlottesville. Mary Jean, I mentioned one of the spots you called Holy Cheese.
Yes. Cheese made by nuns. And it feels like one of those things that people who are truly in the know around here will bring up to me. Right away they say, oh, did you make sure to include the cheese made at the convent? It's Our Ladies of the Angels. It's a Trappist monastery out in Whitehall. And, you know, this is how the nuns out there make a living. They sort of earn their keep out there by making this cheese. It's delicious. It's expensive. And it's worth it. So, you know, a great thing to do is take a drive out there. It's beautiful countryside. So it's always a great time to go for a drive in the country around the Commonwealth. And pick up a wheel of this cheese. You have to bring cash. They don't take credit cards. And assuming that's still true. Go hit a winery with your cheese. BYO crackers, you know?
Yes. Will you list, I wrote wineries, plural, underneath this on my notes. Wineries to go with the cheese, but whether or not that's accurate in this book as an area ambassador, I would think that it's pretty easy to promote multiple wineries in our area in which you stop by and get your holy cheese first and take it along on your trip.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, I mean, I can't even keep up with the number of wineries that there are, but every time there's a new one, we make sure we hit the road and go check it out so we can be informed consumers.
Right. You do have multiple specialty obscure food spots in the book.
Quite a few, yeah. And a wide variety, I think, from, you know, sort of confections like the paletas, which are fancy popsicles, to a secret seafood restaurant. I don't want to give too much away, Rick. But, lots of interesting food and drink around town that I think, you know, for me, when I go on vacation or, you know, want to go out for a fun date night, I really like to explore the off-the-beaten-path stuff. So I think it's much more interesting to propose an outing to your friends that maybe not everybody's done. And we've got lots of that.
I'm with you on that. I am not as much of a fan of the large brand name when it comes to the food. And it's nice to be supportive of the local places. And the ones you've got here are really cool. I mean, they're just not stop at, you know, Rick and Mary Jean's diner. These places are doing really unique items.
And I fear that someone dropping into town and you know, maybe just seeing what they Google or seeing what's on like the big travel sites would not find some of these kind of hole-in-the-wall things, or, you know, they're easy to overlook, even if they are downtown, or they are a little out of the way. So you've got to do some work to go experience some of them. But, you know, I feel like if you're going to have a really great experience here, that it's worth it. So it's sort of my commitment to local business and to some of these really great finds that not only do I believe they will last a long time, but I want them to.
Yeah, because these places are the ones that typically are not purchasing the Google ads that makes them pop up at the top of the page on Google, on Yelp, et cetera, because people don't think of it, but even on Yelp, there are ones that pop up based on paid ads at the top. So, yeah, it was really cool to read some of the ones.
Some of these places don't really have a website, or, you know, that's not what they're about. They're there to make their excellent product and put it out there. And, you know, they're not able to do the invest in the advertising or anything like that. So
you mentioned one, just the products, the cool popsicle. And I believe in that, while describing that place, you mentioned that the owner is the one who makes the product, serves the product, cleans the kitchen, et cetera. It is the owner does the work. It's not some 20-person, 40-person, 100-person business.
Right. Yes. And there are just so many of those businesses here. And I feel like that's sort of the heart and soul of this community. I love that when you walk around here, there aren't a lot of those big chains. You can go a very long time going to a different place every week and never once hit a big box or a chain of any kind. And you don't find that very many places. And it's one of the things I value about Charlottesville the most.
Yeah. Some of the other places that you mentioned, you can go to a polo match.
Yeah, there's a couple of different ways to do that. But, you know, I had never been to polo. I grew up in the Midwest, so that wasn't something that was part of my life. But, you know, it's a fun activity, and I know some adults who have taken polo classes and learned how to do that, which is pretty amazing. I think it's probably a pretty good workout. I think you probably want to be pretty familiar with horseback riding to begin with. I'd probably just fall off, but but it's really fun to watch.
I'm not sure I could get on.
But I admire the heck out of people who can. It's pretty cool. And I don't think, Rick, I think most people don't know where the UVA polo grounds even are. They're south of town, down Old Lynchburg Road, way, way off the road. And, you know, they are not very good about advertising their polo matches. So, you know, I tried to include that information for people who are interested in doing that. But what a cool, free, fun activity to go watch some polo get played.
Right. Buy some holy cheese, visit the winery, and then go to see your polo match.
Yeah,
you can do a lot of things on the checklist over the weekend.
Yeah, for sure.
We haven't talked about music. You list the tiny concerts,
right? The garage, which is in my mind and probably in truth the smallest concert venue. Maybe ever. I don't know. It's pretty small, but it's interesting that the kind of music community that we have here, that bands that get pretty big at some time might come through here and play at the garage, which is literally a one-car garage in downtown Charlottesville, about two blocks from the downtown mall. And the Lumineers, do you know that band, Rick?
Yes, I do.
They played the garage once upon a time. So, you know, you never know who you're going to see there, which is pretty neat. You know, and they're interested in continuing that tradition of having concerts there, which just, you know, what's the seating? What's the ticket arrangement? Well, they're free, and people can are asked to, you know, donate and contribute. You know, these are going to be bands just getting their start, but people can just sit on the hill in the park directly across from the garage. So it's a very sort of community-friendly concert experience.
You also list several other music spots in there for people who to purchase the book about where to go for a jazz charity, the Dave Matthews Band, hot spots for fans. So there are other musical aspects to the book as well.
Yeah, I think people like performing arts and music, you know, seeing what kind of entertainment you can find around town. And we've got plenty of that.
Mary Jean Oldham here with us today as we talk about her newest book, Secret Charlottesville, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. Mary Jean, you talk about arts and entertainment here in Charlottesville, and one of the items in the book is arm wrestling.
Yes, the Charlottesville Lady Arm Wrestlers, otherwise known as CLAW. They're a great organization that really comes together to host these events, these brawls, if you will. And they do it at Champion Brewing Company, the tap room, underneath the big tent. And it's a great fundraiser for a variety of different organizations. But it's really fun how the crowd and how the competitors get dressed in costumes and have an entourage. It's a big show, right? So it's a lot of fun. It attracts a lot of people. And it's another one of those more unusual things to do. But what a great fundraising activity that's different than your, you know, your galas and your golf tournaments, right?
You can choose between a golf tournament or a ladies' arm wrestling event.
Yeah, come on. What are you going to do?
I don't know. Well, the arm wrestling tournament is at the brewery, and the golf tournament, I just have to wait for somebody to come around in the cart and bring me one beer. So
right. It's
pretty much of an easy choice. Yeah. The golf cart never shows up on time for me. You did a really nice job of spreading out the history and learning, the food and beverage, the entertainment, relaxation part. I mean, is that just a skill that was developed from the first couple books? Or, an editor who assisted you with that? How does that balance come about?
Oh, gosh. You know, I think that's really all me. I think the way I arranged it was just really how things kind of struck me. And it felt like, you know, I didn't want to have too much of anything. You know, sometimes I felt like it would get a little heavy with some of the history, and then I had to lighten it back up with something fun. And Yeah, I mean, I do. I really do like the way that it turned out, and that, you know, it sort of flows from something educational into something that's pure entertainment or just plain fun. And I think that will hopefully hold the interest of a variety of different readers and visitors.
Well, I found it to be nice because as you're trying to plan for or choose, and typically there are multiple people when it comes to putting right. this together for your, what are we going to do this weekend?
Right.
You need to have multiple types of options.
Right.
And I found this to be interesting and helpful for that purpose as well, because people's opinions change, their wants and desires change. Oh, you know what? I'd like to do something this weekend outside more than inside. It's supposed to be rainy, but I want to leave the house.
Right.
And there are plenty of places in the book, Secret Charlottesville, Mary Jean Oldham, that allow you to meet all of those. And you can pretty much go on a run for a whole year. I mean, if you said you had 84.
Right. Yeah, I think it would take somebody a long time.
So that'll cover you for a while. I'm going to give you one of my favorites, and then we should have time to get your favorite that I didn't mention before.
Okay.
We need to close up for the day.
Okay.
The home of the Russian Grand Duchess, because that's always been this myth since,
yes.
you know, I came to Charlottesville a number of years ago as a student.
Yes, right. Yeah. I remember hearing that from someone early on when I moved to Charlottesville as if it were fact. And, you know, I think people may have believed it was fact for some time, but the truth was revealed thanks to science, ultimately, and I will kind of leave that there, but I'll tell you, if someone could have had like a hidden camera on me throughout writing this book and skulking around town to get photographs of some of the things that I was writing about, it would have been pretty amusing, I think.
Well, I've always found that to be a fascinating topic, and your book does a lot with that. And for people who want to read the history and go a little deeper, mm-hmm. there you can go many places and find a thesis or a doctorate on this topic, I'm sure. But Mary Jean's book sends you, this is, gives you locations and where to go. All right, so we got about 2 minutes. Tell me your favorite thing to do or to write about that we haven't already mentioned.
I think one of the things that occurred to me early on that I really wanted to make sure I included in the book was about the Cold War military bunkers. And I think that people who live here or who are into that sort of thing kind of know about the Greenbrier Resort and that there's a military bunker underneath. And some people have even toured that. I don't know if you've done that, Rick. I've done that. It's pretty interesting, but it's not a hard leap to make to realize that there are underground facilities to house certain leaders of our country throughout this part of the country. So we're not very far from Washington, D.C., and I think we know, or some know, or suspect that there are secret bunkers, maybe even very close to Charlottesville. And so I talk a little bit about one that is very near here and another one that's a little bit further away. And, you know, I found some people who knew a little more about those and was able to write a little bit about that and even include some photos. So it's pretty interesting to think about what was planned for when the country was thinking about Cold War and possibilities of needing to protect people. And the fact that those facilities may not ever be used. And in some cases, they're decommissioned, so no one's ever going to use them, but they're still there. So what happens to them, and will we ever need them?
Well, Mary Jean, just like we started with, if the secret societies aren't calling you and leaving breathing messages on your phone, I don't know if the folks who put the bunkers in might start doing that.
You're right.
Mary Jean Oldham, she's the author of the new book, Secret Charlottesville, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. You can find it all around town. New Dominion Bookshop, I'm sure, is the best place to buy it, an independent bookshop here in Charlottesville. Mary Jean, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Rick. You bet. Bye-bye.
All right, everybody. We'll be back next week. Talk to you then.
This has been the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call on Real Oldies 97.9 The Wren. The Wake-Up Call is produced by Dan Gould. Show archives can be found at SeavillePodcast.com. Be sure to join Rick next Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for The Wake-Up Call, only on 97.9 The Wren.